Word Travel.
Welcome back to The Ticket. We do this every fortnight. Angela Boschoff-Hundle from copywriting agency Scribe comes into the studio and she brings us an article that she's found either online or in print and we pick through it. Bit of an unusual one this week, Angela.
Yes, it is. It's about weird travel phobias and places to go. You can think of it either way. You can either go there to or avoid it totally if you have that phobia, or you can go there to try and get over it.
Mm. Yes.
Face your fears, as they say.
I have to say, if it's like a really extreme fear, perhaps don't do it, because I don't want the show to be getting a call like, I took your advice, it was horrendous. I'm now in hospital, so we'll avoid that part. But yeah, so it's about phobias. And everyone has some kind of phobia. Do you guys have phobias? I think I'm a bit scared of closed spaces, but I'm not sure. I sometimes feel scared.
I can't touch wood that hasn't been treated.
Really?
Like lollipop sticks, wooden spoons, even going near them just makes my tongue go all dry and horrible. I could freak out.
What?
Wow.
I think it's from the doctors. Rolling pins. I think it's from the doctors when they used to put a spatula thing at the back of your throat and push it down.
Yeah.
Just can't be near it.
Mine is driving over large bridges. It scares the living daylights out of me. And literally, I come out in a cold sweat.
I remember
sweat
that on the way to
shaking.
Abu Dhabi once.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It happened with you in the car.
Is it the height or the width?
The one that really scares me here is the big Abu Dhabi bridge going into Abu Dhabi. So yeah. I'll always take a detour and go over the little bridge.
Wow.
Is it the little voice in your head that's going, just turn right here?
Yeah, I don't know.
Edge.
I start holding onto the wheel as though I'm stopping it from veering off. I'm just trying to keep it straight. So yeah, always bridges have been an issue for me.
But can you walk across a bridge?
Oh, yeah,
those shaky bridges.
Definitely.
So it's
walk
just in the car.
Definitely walk. It's the car. It's driving off a bridge. Who knows?
Yeah, well, we need to find out what that is.
Bridgephobia
and woodenophobia. Untreated woodenophobia.
That's me.
So I'm going to go through these little phobias now, but I want to ask you, I think I'm pronouncing this right, Eichmophobia. What does that sound like to you?
How do you spell that?
No, we're not doing that. No, not for every single one of these.
Not for everyone, because there's a really long one coming up later.
Eichmophobia, you're going to have to guess.
Right. The fear of breaking bones.
I think this is the fear of how much you're going to hurt the first time you go back to the gym.
Well, that's a good one, but no, they're both wrong. It's the fear of needles or of pointed objects.
Right.
Ooh.
Yes.
Fear of needles is a big one, isn't it, in life?
Fear of needles is a huge one. Yeah, pointed objects I didn't really know about, but interesting. So I found some places, like we said, you can either go to get over your fear or just totally avoid. And the first one is the Space Needle in Seattle. And that was built during the World's Fair in 1962. And it's it tops out at 605 feet high and it weighs 9,500 tons.
And no one's going to stick that in your arm.
No one's going to stick that in your arm. And if you're scared of pointed objects, stay away or face your fears.
You know what? There was a film, a short film about eichmophobia. We've got a clip from it. Take a little listen to this.
How could you do this to me? You betrayed me.
We've gone over this before. It's for your own good.
It doesn't seem like it.
Well, if you didn't struggle so much, then this would be a far more pleasant experience for you.
Prepare the patient.
You act like I don't do this every day.
This one's a struggler. Be careful.
And how are we doing today? He's not going to talk. It's a miracle I was even able to drag him here.
Then we'll get this done as quickly as possible.
No!
The harder you make this for me, the worse it will be for you.
The film about people being scared of needles and strapped to chairs.
Ooh,
to have one.
Yeah.
What movie was that?
It's called Eichmophobia.
That was the...
Oh, the movie's actually called that.
Mm. So weird. Yeah. That was like, that dialogue was like...
We had Shruti like digging out any little sound clip that can go with
phobia.
Any of these fears and phobias.
Right.
Because I didn't want to look at any of them because I want us to guess what they
guess
mean.
What they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is that your huge suggestion?
Well, what's a huge suggestion?
Go to Needle Tower.
No, I've got more.
Oh,
I've got another one.
Okay, go on then.
What else have you got?
It's a huge suggestion, literally, Steph, but not the only suggestion. I've got the Needle and Button Sculpture in New York, which is you'll find walking down 7th Avenue. There's a really huge button and needle, you may have seen pictures, leaning against the Fashion District Information Center. And while the sculpture was designed in the style of works by Klaus Oldenburg, it was designed and built along with the Information Center by a company called Pentagram Architectural Services. And just next to it, which is a little bit missable if you're looking at the giant needle and button, there's a statue of a garment worker kind of toiling in the shadow of the sculpture. And this is a kind of weathered-looking bronze statue, and it's a work by someone called Judith Weller. And it depicts her father, who was an immigrant who moved to New York and wound up working in the garment district there. And looming over this immigrant worker, the needle and button kind of feels less whimsical and more oppressive. So Ooh. If you've missed that, have a look the next
time. I'm guessing it's not right outside any fashion shops then.
I don't think so. I'm sure someone would have brought that up.
Absolutely.
Does the Burj Khalifa count as needle-shaped?
Yes, like at the very top, I reckon.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so you could be scared of that if you had acmophobia.
Mm.
The next one we're moving on to, it's a little bit more obvious, I hope, in the name, agrizophobia.
Agrizophobia.
Scared of aggressive animals at the zoo.
Bears. Scared of bears.
You're both kind of right. It's fear of wild animals. So
they're not in the zoo at all?
No, just fear of wild animals. I think it could be in the zoo, at the zoo, walking in a safari park, I think. I'd imagine. Yeah, if you're scared of animals, I reckon you'd be scared of animals wherever they are. So steer clear or go to Tanzania's Tarangire National Park. It has one of the densest concentrations of freely roaming wildlife. So you'll find zebras, wildebeest, hartebeests, elephants. Pretty much terrifying if you're scared of wild animals.
I'm scared of wildlife.
Like, could you not see them? Or could you?
I went for a walk in Ethiopia once with the guy, and it was just terrifying being in all that open space, knowing someone could be in a bush, looking at you thinking,
"Yeah,
I'm a peckish.
That's my dinner."
McDonald's, yeah. This friend of mine went to Ethiopia as well, and he ended up, I can't remember which part of Ethiopia it was, but he ended up feeding hyenas at night. They all sit in a circle, and then they, I don't know how they do it, but they draw these hyenas in, and they come and take food from you, and I was just like... Totally Ooh. Stay away from that one. Thanks,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, very scary. There is a celebrity who has this phobia, you know.
Who's
Can
that?
You guess which one?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I'm going
to
say...
She's married to someone which it would have been almost impossible to stay married to, I think.
Angelina Jolie?
No.
Kim Kardashian?
No. Was it that bad a clue? Katie Holmes?
Katie Holmes fears raccoons. Holmes has a terrible fear of these nocturnal trash hunters. There is no official name for a fear of raccoons, Katie is labeled as a grisophobic, or one who has a fear of wild animals.
Katie a grisophobic.
Holmes. A grisophobic. I might need some pronunciation lessons on these on these phobias. There's another place you can go to that's quite cool. It's called Mirazonia, and it's in South America. And
no,
it's,
that is a made-up place.
That is a made-up place?
You made
Mirazonia?
That place up.
It's not a country. It's a rehabilitation center. So I didn't make up a just quickly random make up a country for the show.
I was going to say, doesn't it sound like a mystical land in a TV show?
It does
show?
Really, doesn't it? Yeah.
I forgot to see where unicorns come from. So it's a wildlife rescue and rehab center, and it's on 250 acres of Amazon rainforest in Ecuador in South America. And you look after about 100 animals, including monkeys, parrots, macaws, small mammals. They also have a puma and sometimes other felines. So I reckon that would be pretty horrible if you were scared.
Although a great way to get over it, because it's managed, isn't it? It's controlled. They're not completely wild animals. They're there being looked after.
Yeah.
Although if they're in rehabilitation, they might likely be in pain, which might be a bit scary. If you're walking the puma and he has a sore paw, might be a bit scary. You never know.
Don't walk the puma. That's my advice.
Yeah, don't put one on a lead and lead it around.
Tell him. You look after the hedgehogs.
Yes, absolutely. All right, what's our next phobia then, Angela?
We're going on to cryophobia, which is, what do you think?
The fear of someone getting really upset when you're with them.
Yeah, the fear of confrontation, of arguments, of, clashes.
It's the fear of extreme cold.
Mark has this.
Yeah.
Do you
I hate
really?
The cold. Hate it. Yeah.
But do you fear it or do you hate it?
No, I just don't like it. I don't think I'm scared of it.
Okay.
Well, maybe I am.
Would you go to Lapland Ice Hotel?
No.
I would. Although I've heard weird reports, because I was looking at it for my dad, because he really wanted to go. And I was looking at the people who stay in, you know, the really cold room?
Yeah. Actually, so I don't, but I think I would imagine it's very cold, yes.
Everything's sculpted out of ice. The bed's sculpted out of ice. The bedside tables, everything is ice. Mm-hmm. So you put all of your stuff that could die in that kind of temperature in a locker before you go into that room. So the only thing you go in is your sleep suit, and you've got the bed that you lie on. It's not like a proper bedroom where you unpack and stuff.
No.
But most people end up back out by the lockers where there's a radiator in the middle of the night sleeping on benches when they've spent a fortune for the room because they're too cold and they can't sleep. Got a headache. So yeah, I think it's really tough, that one.
Why would you spend money to do that?
Yeah, or why would the hotel not kind of make it a bit more comfortable? Surely.
They would melt. You can't.
Yeah, I guess.
Comfortable is warmer, isn't it?
So what do you sleep on when you're on an ice bed? Like, what are you lying on?
Furs. Lots of furs.
Mm.
Yeah, that can't be very... I don't imagine they'd be very comfortable.
I would still do it for one night.
Yeah, I'd do it. I reckon I'd do it.
Mark wouldn't do it.
No, definitely not do it. No. So where will we go and stay to get over our fear of cryophobia?
So we're going to go to Alaska, which is very cold. Yeah. And it's the highest mountain in North America, Denali, which is also known as Mount McKinley. And it's only tackled by the most ambitious high-altitude climbers. So it's not for a little stroll. And because it's located near the Arctic Circle, it has some really ferocious weather, with the coldest recorded temperature here being -73.
Whoa.
I don't even, I mean, you could never even survive in that. If you want to do that and go there, you'll have to start saving, though, because there's a company who goes there. They're called Alpine Ascents, and they run three-week treks that cost $7,900 per person.
That would be an awful holiday to get there and regret, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, some holidays you get there and you think,
especially
this isn't
for price.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, on the top of the mountain. Like, I want to go down now. I don't want to do this anymore.
And that would be me, like day one. I've changed my mind. I don't want to do it anymore. Yeah. But we've paid all this money. I don't care. Doesn't matter.
Get me
I
home.
Thought there'd be a stand here with hot chocolate. Where is it?
Yeah, or one of those heaters they have in the pub.
Yeah, exactly. And then, of course, there's Mongolia. So winter conditions in Outer Mongolia are also pretty brutal, with the average weather temperature drops down to about -20.
I don't think that's too bad, -20.
Yeah, compared to Alaska especially, it's okay.
It's half of a Canadian winter.
Yeah. Canada's worse, I think. And the way to stay warm is to sleep in something called a ger. I think it's pronounced a ger.
Yeah.
Which is like the animal sounds that they'd make on the mountain. Which is a large circular tent, which is covered in felt and cotton. It's strapped down with ropes because I imagine it's quite windy. And there's a hot stove and lots of heavy blankets. So apparently it's surprisingly warm, even when there's really deep snow on the ground.
I stayed in one of these in England in a field. They called it a yurt. Same kind of thing, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a hide tent, right? Kind of.
Yeah, and it's round and you have a little door. It was still pretty cold in there.
Is it like a wigwam?
In England. Not like a wigwam because it doesn't come to a point. It comes more up straight and then I want to say a hexagon around the top.
All right, yeah.
But I will Google it right now and find out the difference between a yurt and a ger.
Mm. Yes, please.
We'll come back with Angela and more phobias, more things that kind of scare us on our travels in Word Travel.
Word Travel.
We've got Angela with us from Scribe, and we're talking about an article that she found this week. And it's all about your fears and where you can go in the world to try and conquer them. Or, if you don't want to conquer them, the places that you really need to avoid.
That's true.
We're talking about cryophobia, fear of extreme cold. And we had someone text in who hasn't got cryophobia, but says that they can't stand jellyfish because you can see through them and you can see all their organs. Is there a phobia for this?
Not that I know. There must be, I think. I don't know what it is, though. Yeah.
I'm getting into trouble from Peter Sells. He says, again, with the Canadian cold exaggeration, -20 is very cold. It's not part of the Canadian winter. Toronto is the same latitude as Venice, says Peter. Well, I stand corrected. But I do know that in parts of Canada, it can get down to -40.
Mm. Can get a bit chilly, can't it? For sure.
Yeah.
A
bit chilly.
I remember, where was I? In Montreal. And that's where they all go underground when it gets cold.
Yeah.
Going underground.
I've noticed that Dubai, next to the mall, is starting to be above ground. Like, lots of the new buildings that are being built, you can see bits coming out of them that look like they're going to attach to something else.
Yeah.
And I wonder if we're going to have an above ground city that's all aircon someday.
Right.
Everything will just link together, maybe.
Yeah.
I've noticed that too. I hope so. It'd be quite cool, actually.
It would be good, wouldn't it? Mm. If I could get to the metro without getting outside, I'd use it every day.
Yeah.
In the summer. In the winter, I do anyway. So we're moving on from cryophobia Mm-hmm. To what kind of phobia?
Okay, this, I'm going to have to take a deep breath for this one. And I hope I get it right. I think it's Hippopotomonstrosis quipedaliophobia.
Ooh.
Wow. I think the first thing we should do is listen to the song about this. Shoot sound this. And she was laughing in the office with her headphones in, so I'm dying to hear it.
Song about it.
I've been afraid of big words since I was a kid. I thought that I'd get over it, somehow I never did. Usually it's no big deal, but every now and then your audaciously loquacious, it kicks in again. I went to a specialist and said, what's wrong with me? Based upon your test results, it's not hard to see. You're afraid of lengthy words, you're not the only one. Here's what your condition's called, but this won't be much fun. Hippopotomonstrosis quipedaliophobia. Hippopotomonstrosis quipedaliophobia. If you're afraid of big long words, here's what you should know. Hippopotomonstrosis quipedaliophobia.
Ooh.
Great, love it. Think I'll play that at the wedding.
That is massively cruel though, isn't it? To give the name of a fear of long words
to an animal.
No, a long word.
Oh, a long word. Well, it's a hippo at the start of it, isn't it? I thought it was a fear of hippos.
No. It's fear of long words.
Fear of long words, guys. So kind of a little bit like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. That's how it goes, eh?
I do have this sometimes. When we're reading something, there's a big word coming up.
Yeah.
Especially if it's in a different language and I don't know exactly how to say it. I have to actually break the word up and write it down.
Yeah. The phonetic way.
The phonetic way.
Well, that's what's... I'm not even going to try this because it's 167 letters, the formal name for the city of Bangkok, which is the longest name in the world. It's like literally 5 sentences long. I think I'll be here.
You should try and say it.
Okay. Krung Tep Mahan Kon Bovon Ratan Kosin Mahintari Vertaya Mahidolok Pop Nopa Ratachatani Buri Rom Odom Ratchani Veta Mahasathan Amonobipam Avatnasit, Satit, Sakatati Yavi Snukaram Prasit. I just totally killed Bangkok's name. Soz, guys. Also, if you have any Thai people listening, please do not call in.
And nope, that bit is not in it.
Yes, exactly.
That was your extra little add in there.
Yeah, exactly. Then, of course, there's a really long name in Wales.
Aha. I can speak a bit of Welsh.
Can you?
Yeah.
Do you know what the name is?
No.
I know it ends in a go, go, go.
A go, go, go?
I think so.
I wrote this down so that I could try and say it. So it's, I think it's Lanvar Pool Gain Git Go Ger Uquirn Drob Ut Clandus Ilio Go, Go, Goch, I think.
Mm.
That sounded good to me.
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot, guys.
My Welsh is all about, take me to the valleys. I have a Welsh friend and that's all we say to each other.
Is it?
Yeah.
Even if you're not near a valley. Yeah.
It is one of the most beautiful accents, though, isn't it? It's like singing when you hear someone speaking Welsh.
So it's 58 letters, that one.
It's 58 letters, and it means St. Mary's Church in the hollow of the White Hazel near a rapid whirlpool and the Church of St. Cilio near the Red Cave.
Well, actually, do you know what? They probably said it quicker than that.
Yeah.
Haven't they?
Like in there, you mean in the original language? Yeah. They have, actually. And it sounds quite lovely as well. Well, I don't know how I pronounced it, but yeah. So this tiny town it's always made headlines, but it made particular headlines in 2015, and that's when Liam Dutton, who was a UK weatherman, pronounced it during a live report without skipping a beat. And I saw that, and it was brilliant.
I wonder how long he'd been practicing that for.
A while. Like, he was up at 5 in the morning.
Yeah, that's so good.
I don't think
so
he got his script 5 minutes before the show for that.
That's awesome, though, isn't it?
It is really cool. And there's another place... in New Zealand, it's near Porangahu in Hawke's Bay, and it's an unassuming hill known as Tamata Waka Tangi Hanga Kawa. Oh, my goodness me. O Tamateo Turipaka Kapi Manga Horo Nuku Pokai Wanawa Kitanatahu. I'm so sorry, everyone.
You know what I always think? Imagine learning that as a kid at school, if that's where you lived. Like, just learning to write your name would be hard enough, wouldn't it?
Or like if you get lost and you're like, where's your house? You're like, number 5, digga, 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 digga.
It's written on my arm, on my back, and then on my stomach.
Exactly, yeah. And that means the place where Tamatea, the man with the big knees, who slid, climbed, and swallowed mountains, known as Land Eater, played his flute to his loved one. It's a little story.
They are the places we should be going. We should be going to Bangkok.
Yes.
And New Zealand and Wales.
Yes.
We're scared of big words.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Or avoiding them totally.
Or avoiding them completely.
Yeah, exactly.
Our next big fear, macrophobia, has to be computers.
Macrophobia. Yeah, I'll go with, I'll just say fear of technology.
It's actually the fear of long waits.
I think everyone in Dubai has this. That's why we're always late.
Queuing and things.
Yeah.
Wrong city to live in then. So Space Mountain has the longest line in Disneyland, and I think that's in the US, but roller coaster fanatics rarely mind the 2 hour plus wait. Would you wait 2 hours for a roller coaster?
No way.
I wouldn't.
No way.
Never ever. Rome, I don't know this. I don't know. Tell me if you think this is true. Appears to be the city where people are willing to wait the largest amount of time to see these sites, spending up to 7.5 hours during their visit, seeing just these four places. St. Peter's Basilica, Sistine Chapel, Vatican Museum, and the Colosseum.
Yeah, I waited about 2.5 hours at the Vatican.
I wouldn't do it. It looks great from the outside. Get your pictures from the outside. And, you know,
not about the pictures.
Don't really matter what's inside.
It's not about the pictures.
Experience.
What is he like?
Where's that other one that you queued up for in Barcelona?
Sagrada de Familia.
Yeah.
How long did you wait?
I queued and then I gave up in the queue. I've tried to get in there about 4 times and I always give up.
Me too. I'm so bad like that. Like, I'll be just 4 away. I've been there like 10 years and then I'll step out and think afterwards, why did you step out? You could have been in by now.
Nah, because you still got a bit of your life back.
No, that's true.
You just regret the time you have spent in the queue.
Apparently Paris, London and Amsterdam aren't much better though. Some people wait 5 hours in line to see the London Eye, St. Paul's Cathedral, the Tower of London. And then in Paris, Catacombs, the Louvre, Eiffel Tower. And in Amsterdam, the Van Gogh Museum, Anne Frank House and the Rijksmuseum.
It's remarkable. I bet people wait a lot less than they used to. Like, I bet there's more people going, I'm not doing it.
Not doing that.
But do you think things have been shortened by technology? Because surely before, like 20 years ago, when everything was on paper, it would take longer to get into a place.
Mm. I don't know. I mean, you've got these fast track lines now as well, haven't you, that you can
pay
extra
for.
Yeah,
you've
got to pay more.
I'd pay. I'd do it.
No, we've talked about this before. There's no way I'd do that. I'd rather not go in.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
It's not fair on the people who are in the big queue who can't afford it. I think it's terrible.
I'm
those VIP lines.
Bye! Like waving on my way. I'll wave at you on the way past it.
We have to do that again sometime because that was quite a cracking chat, that wasn't it?
It was. It was great. Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot more phobias that you've got up your sleeve, Angela.
Loads of phobias.
Angela, we will see you again in a fortnight. Thank you for joining us.
Bye.